For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
This is a podcast from Minute Media.
You're listening to the Eyes on Isles podcast with Matt O'Leary and Mitch Anderson.
Hello and welcome to the Eyes on Isles podcast, episode number 241. What's going on? Matt O'Leary, Mitch Anderson. Mitch, how you doing, my friend?
I realized I am a wicked lightweight yesterday. During the post-game podcast, I had a beer during the game, and then I had a beer during the podcast. I had two beers. I don't usually have two beers, at least not during the weekday or a weekday. And boy, when I woke up this morning, my head was not happy. And I had two beers, like short cans. I had little stubbies and still like headache. What the hell is going on here?
Not good, Mitch. That we don't like to hear the sound of that. It sounds like aging. It's scary. Yeah.
Or I gotta like make sure to drink a liter of freaking water between each like 350 ml beer or something like that. What the hell?
Oh man, you poor guy. That's no fun. Two beers and a hangover. Don't love that.
No, so it didn't last long, thankfully, but still, it was there. What's going on with you?
I did one of your favorite pastimes today. I had I finished up work around like 5:36, and I had a little bit of time after I ate. And I was like, you know what? I'm just gonna like lay here for a second, and then like a quick 10 minute nap. Woke up, I'm like, I feel a billion times better. I am ready to go. We got the Two Eyes on Isles podcast tonight. I had another appearance that I was doing on another show before, and I'm like, I'm ready. Like, that's all I needed to get me back. Because before that, Mitch, I was in rough shape. I don't know. It was just one of those days. I was like, I'm not feeling this. I don't want to do anything. And then that 10-minute nap changed everything.
It really does, man. And it doesn't matter where you do it. I had one yesterday. Like, I was doing perler beads with my son. We were doing, like, Pokemon and stuff because that's all they're into. And I was just kind of like, oh, I'm kind of feeling tired. And I kept like moving down the table to the left until eventually I just like fell asleep on the bench and like out. My wife's got pictures of me just out curled up on the bench. We have a bench in the bay window, and that's where I was, just nestled in there for a good 20-minute power nap. And it did a world of a difference.
Love that. And speaking of things we love, we could transition and get into the Islanders top line, which is just phenomenal right now. And no, it's not the Matthew Barzal unit, which you know, most people, when you think Islanders top line, like if you're not, you know, familiar with the team, or just you don't watch them every day, you think, oh, you know, Matt Barzal's line. No, we're talking about Anders Lee, Brock Nelson, Anthony Beauvillier, because the three of them are on fire right now, and it's been really fun to watch.
So like Barry Trotz had to scrape together a line, right? Matthew Barzal goes out with an injury. I undisclosed what type of injury it was, but either way, he had to miss a couple of games because of it. And so Barry's got a scramble, going like, well, who am I going to put on my top line? Clearly, Brock Nelson moves up as the center, but who do I put next to him? And he's just like, oh, I'll put Anders Lee. I make it sound like it was random, but like there was purpose to it. But I'm going to put Lee there, and I'm going to put Bo on the right, who's a left shot. And it works like gangbusters. I don't think he expected it to work as well as it friggin' did, because it's still working today. Nelson has 18 goals since February 1st. That's stupid. Lee's got 14. Like, the hell are we talking about here?
Yeah, it's just insane. And obviously, that's a bigger sample size. But even just looking at the last five games, both Brock Nelson and Anders Lee have 9 points in their last five games. Like, that's just absurd.
they're close to 2 points per game over the last five, and they're killing it right now, and they're playing well defensively. They're obviously playing well offensively, and it's really helping the Islanders go. And really what it does is it gives the Islanders another look to go like, oh shit, this line works well. Okay, well, we still got that Barzal guy to play. That guy we know can score points. That's an 80-point player at one point. At least a 60-point player. they have another one of those guys who's not even performing at their standard right now. And so you're going, okay, if I can keep that line together going forward, now I got to figure out what my other line is. What would be my 1B line, let's say. And so right now it's Parise, Barzal, Wallstrom, but like you would ideally pick up another winger to replace Parise, who shouldn't be playing the high in the lineup necessarily.
No, which, I mean, we're going to get to eventually, but ironically, Parise has been the better of the two wingers on that line, which is just, again, a conversation for the next segment here. But just focusing in on Brock Nelson and Anders Lee, because, I mean, no disrespect to Anthony Beauvillier, who's held his own. I mean, he has 4 points in the last five games, so he's putting up numbers too. But it really seems that Nelson and Lee have this connection. What do you think, you know, it is?
I don't know. Even Barry Trotz is like, I don't know, guys. I didn't think it would work. Because you're talking about two guys who love to shoot the puck from different areas, kind of thing. Like, right, Anders Lee's office is right along the crease. And then Brock Nelson is obviously likes to shoot from close because everyone does, but he can rip him from anywhere. But these are guys who like to have the puck on their stick. So you're like, are they going to share it, right? And sure as hell they do. Anders Lee, look at his assist numbers, right? They're up to like 15 on the year. They were at 8 before that happened. So insane change there. So what is it that's working? I don't know. It might just be that they've been together forever and they're just kind of like, I know where you're going to be. I know where you're going to be. So we're good. Right? Like that seems plausible.
It does. But the irony here is they haven't played together on a line in a long time. Like, yes, the kid line back in the day, which was one of my favorite Islanders lines with the Strome in the mix with those two. But that's like 2015. This is eons ago in hockey sense. It's a long freaking time. And, you know, for the last 2 years, Anders Lee's been with Matthew Barzal, which also makes a ton of sense, but not a ton of time with Brock Nelson. But I really think there's something here. Like, I wrote either last week or earlier this week about, you know, Brock Nelson kind of turning into the Islanders' number one center and Anders Lee being a nice running mate for him, which if you told me that at the beginning of the year, I'd be like, you're crazy. Like, that doesn't make, there's no way that that's possible. But I don't know how you could argue against that at the moment.
No, like if you put us in that situation again that you had like at the beginning of the year saying Brock Nelson's playing with Anders Lee, I would have said, what the hell is happening to Matthew Barzal or what happened to Matthew Barzal? Because there's no way that Barry Trotz would have taken away Barzal from Lee or Lee from Barzal unless something terrible happened. And of course, something kind of did. Matthew Barzal got injured. It wasn't anything, I don't know, well, it wasn't a grave injury or serious injury. That's the word I wanted to use. But still, he had to put them there, and it's worked, and it's just like, well, I'm not going to go back to it. This is working. If it ain't broke, don't fix it, and this is very much not broke. It's basically turned to gold at this point. Now it's what the hell do we do with the rest of the lineup?
Yeah, which is definitely a big question here for what they do with the rest of the lineup, because well, this line has been carrying the Islanders, and they've been playing better outside of, you know, this past weekend where they lost pretty good to Boston and Tampa Bay, two teams who are significantly better than them right now. They've been scoring and putting up goals. It's just they feel like this line is very much so carrying them at the moment.
Absolutely. The problem with the Islanders is they're scoring a ton of goals. They're fifth in goals in the NHL since February 1st, but they're allowing quite a bit as well. I think over that same stretch they're 17th, somewhere around like middle of the pack in terms of goals against. That's not good. That's not the Islanders we know. So they need to fix defensively what they're doing. And that makes sense because the way the Islanders plays, we invite a lot of pressure and we're going to kill you on the counter, basically. Not exactly that, but it's essentially we're going to soak up that pressure and limit your opportunities while creating our own. We're just going to convert on them more frequently than you will. And the Islanders have been doing that latter part kind of thing. Well, it's sort of. We're converting on them. They're just allowing a whole crap ton for the other team who are also converting on them maybe a little bit more frequently than the Islanders are. And so they need to clean stuff up in their own end. And so they still need to sort that out going forward. But the big takeaway here is that they're scoring a lot more than we're used to.
Yeah, which is obviously a welcomed addition, because usually the Islanders are struggling offensively. But because we can't have nice things, you can't have the defense going at the right time and the offense going at the right time, which stinks. We're seeing Grant Hutton out there, who has been okay, but like obviously is kind of learning on the fly here. Sebastian Aho and his a million turnovers before that. So it was a little rough for a little bit, but just trying to shine a positive light on the Islanders forwards, who are playing pretty good right now, and most specifically that top line, because Nelson has 32 goals. He's never scored 32 goals in his life, and he's played 56 games this year.
Yeah, his career high before that was 26, was it not?
Yeah, either 26 or 27. It might have been 26. Doesn't matter.
Like,
but
right, he's well above it now, and he's still got a lot of runway to play with. There's just absolutely ridiculous levels of production from Brock Nelson. But on that top line, that third player, Anthony Beauvillier, we talked about it on the show. We've written about it, and it's been mentioned everywhere, obviously. The Islanders need to retool, and the best way for them to do that, as mentioned by Lou Lamoriello, is they're going to have to make some hockey trades. And everyone, before this new top line was made, including myself, was like, well, Bo's got to be a player in that, right? Bo's got to be a guy you ship out to bring someone in that you need. You ship out Bo as a top six winger to bring in a top four D type of thing, ish. Is that something you still do now, or is it just kind of like, we can't move Bo at all because of what's happening here?
No, I'm not at that point. I don't think it's changed enough for me, because we've seen this for 5 years at this point. He goes through these stretches. And if you could let's say that you're moving Beauvillier to bring in like a high end defenseman to add, and then you sign a forward in free agency, I would rather go that route than say like, okay, we're just going to run it back with Bo and then take our chances on the free agency market for the defense.
Yeah, I'm right there with you. Like, I remember making that proposition a few months back, and it was a lot of the pushback that I got, and rightfully so, was that, well, you're selling Bo at a loss right now because he's not at his peak. He's not really, you're not getting peak value for him. We're getting close to it right now, and so maybe that's something they visit, right? If you can pull a Chychrun and Bo goes, obviously not one for one, but still, all right, that's something to entertain, and then you address the left wing position or the right wing top line position some other way. Because we have to remember, usually when coaches make up lines, and I believe Barry Trotz said this recently, is that they operate in duos, right? We look to put duos together, and then we add a third piece to depending on what's happening contextually type of thing. So the duo obviously here is, as you mentioned, Brock Nelson and Andrews Lee, and that stays together.
Right, and like, I don't know, I feel like this might come off as disrespectful, but Beauvillier seems more of like the passenger on the line with how well Lee and Nelson's been playing.
I think a lot of what he does is underrated, right? Because he gets it on the forecheck. His speed is there. He's disruptive and stuff. And that might not translate itself on the score sheet, because he might be getting up on said forecheck and the puck works to defenseman who works it to someone else. And just by the sheer number of people touching pucks before it gets in, he doesn't get a helper on it. But he still did something important to the play. So I think that's going unnoticed here. But you're right, though. Like, he's still not one of the last two guys, or three guys, I guess, to touch the puck before it goes in the net. And that's still kind of important, because that's how we measure success in this league.
Right. And, like, he's been fine. Like, I just don't...
Yeah.
Like, when I think of that line and their success, he's not the one. It's the other two that are coming to mind. And maybe that's not fair, because, like you said, some of the things do go unnoticed, but I think it's just it's the reality of how I'm looking at it, and I feel like most people are looking at it that way.
Yeah, when you look at, 32 goals combined between Lee and Nelson over the last 2 months, and no one else comes close, although Palmieri with 10 is ridiculous, considering how many he's had disallowed in that stretch of time. Right, like you can't say, like, well, he's on the same, and obviously that's not what I'm arguing, but like, you can't say that Bo is at the same level pegging when he's not even in double-digit goals, and these guys are putting up 32 in 2 months. Like, that's just stupid. But his value's there. I think that when they approach said hockey trades, they might get something decent, or the value is significantly higher now for Beauvillier when they look to make said hockey trade.
Yeah, I'm with you on that end. I think that makes the most sense. But Yeah, just you have to love what you're seeing out of Anders Lee and Brock Nelson. Brock's been scoring all year long. Lee had a little bit of a slow start, as we mentioned, but I mean, now he's up to 40 points and 25 goals. You'd imagine that he's going to hit 30 and probably close to 50 points, which you sign up for that from Anders Lee.
Yeah, we got to remember the injury, right? Like, this is what he's doing now that he's fully healthy, and you're going, all right, let's go, baby. We'll take that. But I think an important thing here with that top line working as well as it's working is that Matthew Barzal isn't the one in charge here necessarily. It's really Brock Nelson and Anders Lee running the offensive show while Matthew Barzal still effectively gets up to speed. He's still doing okay with 17 points in 22 games since February 1st. It's like a 64-point pace or something like that. But he's not the one running it. So he's still got another gear to hit, and we're still putting in bucket loads of goals. Look out.
Yeah, no, you have to. That's a great point, too, because usually, what have we said always? It's the Islanders' offense goes as Matt Barzal goes. And right now, comparatively, he's been pretty quiet, but it's other guys like Brock, like Lee, Palmieri, you mentioned, too, picking up the scoring slack.
Yeah, and that's what the Islanders have needed for a while. Hopefully this isn't going to be, this is going to influence Lou is the word I want to use to say like, well, I guess we don't have to do anything because the guys are running. And you're like, no, this doesn't mean you can't do anything. It just means look at the potential you have and you've got the room to do more. Think of the possibilities.
I don't think so. And like, I don't know if that's just me being like too overly optimistic, but I feel like he sees the opportunity. I maybe it's me giving him too much credit, but I feel like he's wise enough to see like, okay, we have this nice nucleus. We just need to add a couple more tweaks. Like I was talking to someone today at work. They're a St. Louis Blues fan, but he was talking about the Islanders and how they've been playing recently. He's like, they're scoring a lot. He's like, they're just a couple tweaks away, but I think they could be right back. And I mean, that coming from someone on the outside who's not just, you know, so hyper-focused on the Islanders was good to hear.
Yeah, he's right, right? We need a top four defenseman and we need a top line winger. We don't need a top line winger necessarily if this team is going to do what they're doing now. But I would assume to get that top four defenseman, a top six winger is moving. And so that creates that gap right there.
Right. And then my hope would be that you're getting someone with maybe a little bit of a higher ceiling than Anthony Beauvillier.
Yeah, a little bit more consistently. We know he can put up 50 to 60 points. Not like we hope he can put up a pace of 50, 60 points type of thing.
Right. Because, you know, that usually ends up to half a season where he's at 60 points, half a season where he's at 24. And then he ends up at like, I don't know, 18 goals and 42 points. And you're like, it's okay. It's very okay.
Yeah, exactly.
But anyway, maybe we could transition now and talk about someone who's not doing so okay, which is a little scary. And I don't know. I don't like to talk about it because it's a player that I really like, but he's struggling right now. And that's Oliver Wahlstrom, who has 4 points over his last 24 games.
Not great. 22 over the last 59 with 12 goals. 12 goals, that is. Started the year hot, right? First 8 games, 5 goals to his name. Things are going like, here we go, the rise of Wally is happening. And then cooled off significantly after that and has not come out of it just yet. And where he's played almost 60 games. He's had 59 games played here. Barry Trotz has been looking for his button all year and has yet to find it. And I don't know what it's going to take, man.
No, and like here's the thing. He got put with Matthew Barzal now, so that excuse or that plan kind of goes out the window. And I think people were so critical of Barry Trotz and his treatment of him earlier in the year, and I think some of it's warranted. Like I'm not going to say that it's just Barry Trotz was 100% in the right and Oliver Wahlstrom was 100% in the wrong. I don't think that's fair, but I think we're seeing now because I mean. The excuse is gone. He's playing with Matthew Barzal, who is the most talented offensive player that they have, and he's still not producing. So it's something on him to figure out. What it's going to take for him to figure out, I don't know. But it's so weird to me that earlier this year,
in the first month of the year, if you told me that by year's end, we'd be like, Noah Dobson is like surefire top four defenseman, or maybe even like top pairing defenseman type of talent, and Oliver Wahlstrom, like, you're still question mark, I would have said there's no way with the hot start that Oliver Wahlstrom got out to, and freaking Noah Dobson was a healthy scratch at the beginning of the year. That sounds like, again, eons ago. That's like a whole nother lifetime.
It really does, man. I don't know what's going on with him. Him being Oliver Wahlstrom, obviously, at this point. The ice time isn't that much of a difference. He's been averaging in the first like couple of games where he just piled on the goals there. He was averaging 13 minutes worth of ice time. And of late, he's got, I'm just trying to do the numbers again. Oh, Hockey Reference, come on now. If I can get the last 20 games or so, 19 games, I've got 11 minutes worth of ice time. So, like, it's a little bit less, but, like, he's not playing well, which is resulting in a little bit less. Like, you can see him just kind of not shut down, but just not realize what's happening necessarily, like, in the defensive zone. And it creates a turnover or it creates a goal against. And those are the things that Barry Trotz wants to eliminate because he knows what he's doing offensively. He knows that if he puts Oliver Wahlstrom in a full offensive situation, he's going to get production out of him. But what he's worried about is, how many goals is he scoring and giving up? And I want to limit the latter as much as possible. And I'm going to try to teach this kid now so I don't have to worry about teaching him when he's 27 and is not going to be able to do so.
No, exactly. And that's he's still young, obviously. He's only 22 years old. So there is still room for growth. And or not even, he's 21 years old. But, like, it's... I just thought he'd be further along at this point, and I'm a little bit surprised that he wasn't able to take that step because, like I said earlier in the year, like, my expectation was, okay, Oliver Wahlstrom's going to turn into that 20-goal scorer, and Noah Dobson's still, like, the question mark, where now it's the complete opposite. I could not be any more confident in Noah Dobson being, you know, what the Islanders were drafting him for, where Oliver Wahlstrom is still very far away from that.
Yeah, and we don't know what it's really going to take. For Noah Dobson, sat one game, came right back. Of course, he sat the one game, and then because Ryan Pulock got injured, he had to play more minutes. So that combination obviously kind of factored, you know, the timing was right type of thing. Whereas we're not seeing that with Oliver Wahlstrom. Obviously, there's no injury to the top six, specifically on the right side. So he's not getting more ice time where Barry's like, I got to see what you got, show me what you got type of thing. That's not happening for Oliver Wahlstrom. He's going to have to create that opportunity. And I don't mean go Tanya Harding someone necessarily, but, like, he's going to have to show the coach that he needs to be put in that position. And he's not showing that right now. It's really his defensive game that is just not there. And I think that is taking a toll on him because this is it's a confidence game. Obviously, he's a confident player. But when things aren't going well, that confidence can get drained pretty quickly. And I think that's what we're seeing right now. It's just not a fully confident Oliver Wahlstrom. He needs something to get him going again. Barry's got to dangle the carrot, I think. And I believe that it's going to have to be power play time because he's not getting it right now.
Yeah, that's the only thing that he isn't getting right now. And that's a good point because, as we mentioned at the top of the segment here, he's playing with Matthew Barzal. So, you know, he's getting that privilege, but he's not getting the power play time. And we've seen in the past, he's done a lot of damage on the power play. He likes to score on the power play. So maybe that would get his confidence back because it's clearly not a talent thing. I think it's something that he's in his own head about, whether it's confidence issue or just thinking like maybe focusing too much on defensive responsibilities and then, you know, in his head in the offensive zone. But maybe that would get him more comfortable.
Maybe. And, like, I say that fully well knowing that I had said a couple of weeks ago, maybe not on this show, but at least on the patron show, shout out to the patrons, saying, like, I don't care that he's not on the power play. I don't. If it's going to help him get his five on five game going, then I'm all for it. Whatever. The power play is doing perfectly well without him, right? They're at, like, 38% efficiency in the last, like, couple of months here. So I'm not worried about the power play. But if you can put him on the second power play unit that is having Anthony Beauvillier on the left and Josh Bailey on the right, that definitely needs to be swapped and have Wahlstrom on there. Maybe that works because if he can pop in a couple of power play goals or power play points that might get him feeling good and get the things going here. But clearly Barry Trotz doesn't think so.
Yeah, it's weird. I don't know what it's going to take for him to snap out of it, because it's not like a 10 game stretch where it's like, ah, yeah, he's just cooled off. No, this is like half the season, just about, where he's been pretty much ineffective for half the year, which something has to change. So maybe the only other button I feel like you could hit is that power play.
Yeah, because there's no other button to put. What, we're going to bench you again? Cool, you've been doing that nonstop. We're going to take, what, put you on the fourth line? Well, that's not going to really be effective. Like, you really think you're going to get something out of him playing on the fourth line? We all know that's not where he belongs. So there's nothing really else to do but do that. Or have, like, Zach Parise quite literally put his arm around him like we saw Zdeno Chara do with Noah Dobson the other day.
Yeah, it's, I don't know. Don't know, but
because we're talking about a former 45 goal scorer in Zach Parise.
It's true. It's someone who
not
puts
the same type of scorer, of course, but like, he's not throwing clappers from the left side necessarily, but still, 45 goals, maybe something to teach Oliver Wallstrom there.
It makes sense that they're playing on the same line. Like, we saw the graphic or the video of Zdeno Chara putting his arm around Noah Dobson. It was like kind of like taking him under his wing there, both literally and figuratively. And the hope was that Zach Parise would do that for Oliver Wallstrom this year, but I don't know. It's not working right now.
It doesn't seem to be working. I don't know why. And of course, like, Oliver Wallstrom's got to be receptive to that type of thing as well. Who says he is, right? Like, we know his temperament isn't the same thing as Noah Dobson, right? Noah Dobson's a little bit understated, isn't as boisterous necessarily, and I imagine Oliver Wallstrom is. Not to say that he's loud and just says whatever he wants whenever he wants, but Oliver Wallstrom is a little bit more bubbly, let's say, than Noah Dobson is, and so he might not be as receptive to that kind of teaching as Noah Dobson is, and maybe that's what we're finding, trying to find the right teacher for Oliver Wallstrom that they haven't found yet.
Right, and I have full confidence that they are going to figure that out in both Lou Lamoriello and Barry Trotz, which I think goes back to the original conversation. The irony here is that people were blaming Barry Trotz for Oliver Wallstrom's shortcomings, and I think this past stretch has proven that, well, that's clearly false.
Yeah, at the beginning of the year, there was no real reason, because I was also one of those going like, what the hell is going on, Barry Trotz? You're going to play Oliver Wallstrom 10 minutes. And that's when he was scoring like 5 goals in 8 games. So we didn't have that kind of frame of reference then to be like, well, he's not playing well. Wow. Who knows? What? We haven't even seen it yet. He's coming out and scoring goals. That seems pretty well to me. But after that, nothing was really coming of it. And now we can see the fragilities in the game. Now that we've got the sample size, you're going, all right, okay, I see what it is. I don't think that was there at the beginning of the year. And maybe that's kind of a factor too, is like, he puts up goals and doesn't get rewarded for it and says he gets chastised. And you're like, ah, what am I supposed to do here? When I do well, I get crapped on. And when I do bad, I still get crapped on. Like, the hell am I doing here?
Yeah, it's, I don't know, it's complicated. Clearly, it's not a black and white issue. There's a lot of gray area here, and they're just trying to get through that gray and get to the end here.
Yeah, on his Facebook status, be NHL player, it's complicated. That's his status now.
Yes, it's complicated. We're looking to get this to in a relationship, or engaged or married or something like that. We don't want singles, obviously bad, but we are currently in it's complicated.
Yeah, so let's get this to in a relationship ASAP, please.
Absolutely. Anything else on Oliver Wallstrom or any other forwards before we move to down on the farm?
No, I don't think so. Do you have anything else?
No, I think we hit it, man. Right now, it's that top line carrying the Islanders, and just, I don't know, I feel like it's a head scratcher. Don't have any answers to Oliver Wallstrom's struggles, but it's weird.
Yeah, I don't know. We got to figure out ASAP.
Absolutely. So what do we got going on in the farm system? Who's doing what?
All right, so there's a few things I want to get out here. First and foremost, I got a list of four. So Rustin Ishikov has a new head coach. Adler Mannheim was not doing well for a while. Things were not going well with the head coach. And Adler Mannheim has it's a higher caliber club within the German league, and they're not really performing as one. So they got rid of the coach, brought a new one in, and our man Ruslan, first game, scores 3 minutes in, scores again beginning of the second period, and then adds a primary assist in the third period. 3-point game when the new coach steps in, and you're going, all right, take notice, coach, I want to play more. Because he was getting about 15 minutes a day type of thing, or a game, under the old coach.
Okay, well, that's a great sign. We love that. We want more playing time for Ruslan.
Yeah, so we'll see what happens going forward. I haven't heard from him and what this new coach is like and such. But it's so far so good, obviously, for Rustin Ishkakov, who's... even then, the first goal was one hell of a power move. He picks it up off the wing and just cuts to the middle with the defender on him. And remember, Rustin is not big. He's 5'10", on his tippy toes, probably 170 pounds, maybe 180 if he's put on a little bit more muscle now. He's not really big, and he powered through that defender and got it in. So, kid's got some muscle to him.
That's impressive. We like that.
Yeah. From there, we're into the Liga playoffs. So those are guys like Matias Jarajanemi. We got Aturatu and Etu Liukas are all performing in the playoffs. There's only one other Finnish prospect that we have, and that's Aleksi Malinen, who Yip is not in the playoffs. That's for damn sure. And he's been spending most of the season at the U20 level anyway. So anyways, whatever. Things aren't going well for Aturatu's side. He's got 1 point in two games, but they're down 2-0 in their best of seven series. The big difference is goalkeeping. The Cuckoo goalkeeper is much better, much better in this series than the Jukurit one, and that's changing the series altogether. Jukurit is the better team, but they're down 2-0 because their goalie is not really up to his normal caliber.
Okay. So they're just being held back by their goalie, I guess.
Basic. It's not to say that he's doing badly, it's just he's not stopping the goals he would normally stop. Oskari Salminen is a pretty damn good goalie and is one of the better goalies in the league. Just the other one is even better than he is right now.
Gotcha.
So not good. So obviously everyone's eyes are not going to go like, okay, so what about that Aturatu kid? What's going on with him? I seen like, when can he come over? Mm-hmm. We saw yesterday that the Los Angeles Kings brought in Samuel Helenius, which was their second round pick from the 2021 draft, same draft as Aturatu. I think they picked him two or three spots after Ratu. They signed him, obviously, at the same time as they signed as the Islanders signed Ratu. And 7 days after Helenius' season was over, they brought him to North America. So he's already playing in the AHL, Samuel Helenius is.
Wow.
So if you could lose the next two games, they would be out of the playoffs, and you would expect that Aturatu would probably be in North America some 7 days later. I'm not going to say guaranteed, but you can see that timeline with Samuel Helenius and then apply the same thing to Aturatu.
So what you're telling me is Lou has a private charter heading out that way now, just in case?
So, yeah. The last game is on April 2nd, assuming that Jukurit gets swept. And I don't think that's going to happen because, again, Jukurit is a really good team and they shouldn't be down 2-0. It should be at worst tied 1-1. But either way, let's, just for the sake of discussion, say that they get swept. Their last game is April 2nd. That means don't expect him here until the 9th type of thing, the 9th of April. And okay, by here, I really mean with Bridgeport, which gives him some time because the Bridgeport Islander season doesn't end until April 23rd. And that's just the regular season. They're as it stands right now, in a playoff position.
Okay, that's good. Even if it's not a lot of time, I would like to get him at least some experience with the AHL this year, if possible.
Yeah, so if he comes by and he's here on April 9th, and I do not expect him to be here, but just for the sake of the discussion we're having, that's still 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 regular season games before the playoffs begin. And if you're getting 6 free North American games for Aturatu, why the hell not?
Yeah, no, absolutely.
So there's that. And like I said, Etu Liukas is also playing. He's doing well in his bottom six role. There is a rumor right now that he is switching teams next year. I haven't asked him about it yet because I don't find it's appropriate to do so while he's in a playoff run. Like, hey, Etu, are you still going to stick around with these clowns? When no, like, that's not something I'm going to ask him. But there's a rumor that he signed with HPK, which is another league aside, for next season. Remember, this is the last year of his contract with TPS. And so I would assume that he's going to get a bigger role over HPK, and that's why he signed. Assuming, I don't know that yet. Right. But that's the assumption right now, that he's going to be making the move next year. And that's fine. He's playing really well right now. Matias Rajaniemi is not playing. He is out injured. Some sort of upper body, like top of the body, neck and up type of thing. Okay. And so I don't know if he's going to be playing in the playoffs either.
Okay, don't love that. Obviously wishing him the best.
Mm-hmm. And last thing here is signings. The Bridgeport Islanders or the New York Islanders haven't signed anyone yet. And the reason I bring that up specifically is because the NCAA season is over and they've got a bunch of NCAA players that on their reserve list that they're probably going to lose their rights to, that you would expect to have signed at least one of them at this point. So we're talking about guys like Logan Cockrell, who played 5 years for BU, was their captain. You'd think they would sign him like almost right away. And then we've got Christian Krieger. That's a defenseman out of MSU. So and they got his rights until August 15th. He was there for 4 years. Shut down left shot defenseman. Still haven't signed him. And then you've got Ben Maragis. I don't think they're going to sign him. Something happened between him and Providence that has yet to come to light. But I don't think that's going to happen here. And then we've got Jacob Pavanka, who was one of three captains for Notre Dame. And great face-off man, good two-way player. And again, his rights expire on August 15th, 2022. And the Islanders have yet to sign him either. And I'm not sure why either of these guys haven't been signed yet.
Yeah, that's a strange one. Cockrell jumps out as someone who you'd think they'd want to stay and get. And that's a little surprising.
The only thing I can think of is there's got to be some sort of timing here where they don't burn a year of the ELC. Right, because they have the rights until August 15th. Could they not just sign these guys July 1? And I'm saying this out loud, and I don't know the rule necessarily. I'm speaking out loud, so you at home listening maybe want to research that, as I will do so after I get off this podcast. Could they sign these guys, let's say, July 1 and just have that contract be for next year? They're signed. We signed them before the rights expired, so why the hell not?
I guess you could, theoretically, right?
I really don't see why not. And I'm sure they're not the only team to do so. Like, couldn't they just sign them anyways? And again, I'm speaking out loud. They could just sign him for 22-23 now and just give him an ATO to play in Bridgeport for the year. I'm pretty sure that's exactly what they did with Oliver Wahlstrom, is it not?
I thought so.
Yeah, right? So, like, I don't see, we're talking through this. Excellent. Yeah, I don't see why they haven't done that to either of these players yet. It just seems strange.
Yeah, that is weird, but anyway, that a little surprising. Good point.
Mm-hmm. So that's it. The only other players that are still that have an expiring or that are expiring on the reserve list are guys like Russian Ishikov, who they have to sign by June 1, and William Zafool, who they also have to sign by June 1. I guarantee you they will sign William Zafool. That's a 99% guarantee. And I'm going to give you like a 75% guarantee for Russian. And even then, I think that's a little high. But yeah.
Okay. Can you talk about your player cards? Because those are really cool. I think that it's deserving to praise these. So they're awesome, so if you don't know.
I made these player cards for my YouTube channel, Deckhands, and they're just Islanders prospects. And the way I did them is not like a spreadsheet, because I've seen like the Jay Fresh cards, which are there's nothing wrong with those cards, but I thought, like, if I'm doing this for YouTube, which is a video a visual medium, why am I, and this is what I was doing before, just showing like spreadsheet data, and this is not visually appealing. So I built these cards that look like NHL hut cards for our prospects that have like an offense, a defense rating, a shooting rating, an overall, an NHLE, and I just find that they look more visually appealing. So I did that. That was a project that consumed a lot more time than I'm willing to admit. And I think it turned out okay.
It turned out phenomenal. So if you haven't checked out Mitch's work over on YouTube, you should. And get a look at those player cards, because they are
worth the price of admission, which is free. But I mean, they are.
It's all free, baby.
But they are very nice. I got a behind the scenes look and I was blown away.
Yeah, I got you to thank with your Jets cards. It got me like, God damn, I want to do something like that. And then the ball just went rolling, buddy.
Yeah, there we go. Love it. So with that, shall we get to the quiz?
Yeah, you're going to hate this one. You're really going to hate it.
Oh, boy. Here we go. I did it. Wrong button. Hang on. Sorry.
You hate it so much you hit the wrong button. So this is a Spiz special. And if you're not aware, Spiz is one of our long-term patrons, long-time friend. And anyway, so he gave me the suggestion and the first clue. If you're listening to this podcast for the first time, every week we have a mystery New York Islander for Matt and you at home to guess. You've got 5 clues to guess who they are. They get progressively easier as we go. The first one is usually some weird-ass clue, and that's what it's going to be this time, buddy. Are you ready?
Let's do it.
1. I share my first name with Spiz's childhood cat. I don't think anyone outside of, like, Spiz, his wife, and their sisters, or his sisters are going to get this.
What kind of bullshit is this? Next question. Or clue.
2. I have played 899 games at the NHL level. I've scored 250 points in those 899 and have 1 Stanley Cup to my name.
Andrew Ladd.
Incorrect. Good guess.
Well, he scored.
Does he have 2 cups?
He does. That's what I was just going to say. He does have 2 cups.
That guy's got 2 cups. Unbelievable. 3. 18 of those 899 games were played with the Islanders in 1 season, and I scored 6 points in that season.
Okay, next.
I played on the blue line, and I played with these teammates: Ziggy Palfy, Brian Berard, and Brian Smolinski.
Okay. So obviously late 90s era Islanders. Okay, next.
Now, I'm not sure. I don't know if I made this one too hard for you. I forget how up you are with your Parks and Rec. My first name is the same name as Leslie Knope's favorite diner.
I have no idea.
Okay. Her favorite diner is JJ's.
Okay, so JJ...
Danyo. It's JJ Danyo.
Yeah, I would have never gotten that in a million years.
No, okay. Fair enough. He played with, like, basically every team in the NHL. Not exactly, but a lot. And he was there for a split second with the Islanders in the 90s. 18 games played, and he came in and he came out. I think it was, like, 6 months from the day he was traded in to the day he was traded out type of thing.
So he did not spend a lot of time on Long Island is what we're getting.
Exactly, yeah. And apparently he shared a name with Spiz's cat, which is weird.
Okay, well, thank you for that.
Spiz is going to have to tell us why his cat's name is JJ.
Yeah, now we got to know that information. Okay, good. Love it.
Now we have to know that information.
Let's get to the social segment. We'll be going around on Isles Twitter, see what's trending, what's going on. Mitch, what jumps out to you this week?
First things first, I got to bring up the fisherman logo thing. There was a town hall with Lou Lamoriello and Nick Hirschen, or I believe it was Nick who asked. Yeah, he asked about bringing back the fisherman logo. And Lou says he encourages fans to write emails if they want it back. And then Shannon Hogan quickly polled the crowd, and it felt like a 50-50 split to me. And I'm sure someone at home is going to be like, them kids want their ironic logos. I just think it's already part of our history. Why not monetize it more? I don't care if they don't wear it. I just like the fact that they're at least selling the thing.
I was going to say they sell it in the team store. So clearly he doesn't hate
that's
it that
all
much.
I care about. That's it. I just don't want them to bury the logo because I think it's an okay logo and it's still part of, you're not going to get rid of it. It's not going anywhere at all.
No. 90s nostalgia's in. I don't know if people have missed the memo and like it's just, I don't know. You know where I feel on that one. So, yeah, it would be cool.
Yeah, so excellent stuff. Obviously, everyone knows who Nick is. The book is excellent, by the way.
My first one comes from the Nassau Men Hockey Podcast on Twitter, and it's the screen grab of Zdeno Chara with his arm around Noah Dobson, and the caption is, so there was this guy, Mike Milbury, dot, 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 and it's just, it's so perfect.
There is a number of those, and it was absolutely excellent to see them. I have one here from Isles PK. I'm just going to bring it up now. All I save is the link to the tweet here. It says, you know, I used to make plays like that in reference to yes. Noah Dobson's like absolute scream, not even screamer, just like filthy pass that he made to Zach Parise for that goal. Insane levels of just like everything together. Weight, timing, accuracy, all of it combined into one for that pass. And yeah, excellent stuff.
Love it. My last one comes from Nick Alberga, who says, prorated over 82 games, Brock Nelson is firing at a 47-goal clip. Let's start talking about it, please. And
I like that Nick isn't trolling the Isles anymore.
No, he's right. Like, is he the most underrated player in the league, or just about, it feels like?
He's up there for sure. Like, he's not talked enough about enough, right? He's on pace for almost 50 goals and no one even knows who he is. Speak his damn name. Do the reverse Will Smith. Put his name in your mouth.
Yes, please.
Unbelievable. My last one here comes from Mrs. Berkey. I think we all know who she is. So Brendan had a on-air gaffe, and I don't call it a gaffe because I haven't been in his shoes specifically, but I've been on a microphone live with like kind of like what we're doing now or not. And sometimes you say things that like, oh crap, I didn't want to say it exactly that way. He said in Long Island, it that's not the way to say it. He knows it. Just it comes out sometimes. And so he's getting crucified for it. And anyways, she tweets out, because Brendan says, I'm going to serve my one-day suspension on Thursday because it's a national broadcast and he's not going to be on it. And she says, a tattoo of Long Island or I'm changing the locks. Love it.
That's funny. that's great. Yeah, so that's just a slip of the tongue. Like, but I also love that we give him a hard time about it. Like, I don't know. It feels like the Islanders broadcast team is very much so a part of, like, the Islanders culture. And I think that he even appreciates, like, being in on the joke almost, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. He knows. And even the suspicious things, right, where he talks about, like, not the suspicious things, the superstitious things. That's what it is.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
I'm not a superstitious person. And he'll just say that freely on the air, knowing that there's someone on Twitter going, like, what are you doing, Brendan?
Yeah, there goes the shutout.
Yeah. So, but P.S. And the next time they do tattoos at the barn, or please do tattoos at the barn when I go the next time, because I will definitely get one of those. I would love to have a tattoo of Long Island at the barn. That would be incredible.
That would be sick if we could somehow pull that off.
Yeah. So we'll have to figure that out, because I would love for that to happen.
That would be very cool. So before we go, let's do some plugs. So wherever you're listening to the show, please make sure to subscribe and give a rating and review. Really helps out a lot. We appreciate all the love and support there. You can follow along with us on social media. On Twitter is Eyes on Isles FS. My Twitter is Matt O'Leary NY, and Mitch is TLO Mitch. Facebook is facebook.com, Eyes on Isles. You could do the website, eyesonisles.com, for all of our articles. And our Patreon content, our bonus content, is patreon.com/eyesonisles. $5 a month gets you bonus New York Islanders, excuse me, content. I work two money jobs and they're starting to mesh together. I don't like it. We do post game shows. We do mailbag shows, and there's a Discord channel of amazing Islanders fans. It's a blast. Definitely worth your while to check out. Right, Mitch?
100%. We've got 22 questions there. First one coming out hot out of the gates is William S. saying, Chinese eggs roll with ketchups. Discuss. That is the first thing we're doing on the mailbag. It's going to be a good one.
I'm going to save my take for the mailbag. So that's going to do it for us on this episode. Thank you so much for tuning in. Once again, I am Matt O'Leary. He's Mitch Anderson, and we'll talk to you next time.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.